Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again. And you seem to have enjoyed the service so far, so we thank Dave and the musicians for that. And we'll soon put a stop to it. Yes, well done, sir. Now, I've turned it on, and if I press the button, I'm not sure anything's going to happen because I always get it wrong. But we don't worry. So, this morning, I want to look at an incident that happened a few days, maybe a few weeks, after Jesus had risen. Now, on the day that Jesus had risen. It's called The Road to Emmaus. The story's about two blokes, ordinary fellas, who were just walking along, minding their business, going home. We'll find out a little bit more about them afterwards, not that we know a great deal. So it's from Luke 24, and it starts at verse 13. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since this all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him.' As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were our heart, not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to him, to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has appeared to us, has appeared to Simon. Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by the breaking of the bread. Have you ever been a victim of mistaken identity? You know, somebody comes up to you in the street and says, oh, you're, you know, that one, and you're not. When I was at school, there was a boy called Jeff. He was older than me by a year or so. But we had a lot of similarities. We were the same stature, shall we say. We both wore glasses. And people used to see me in the street and say, hello, Jeff. And I'm thinking, who? What? And yes, there was a similarity. But we weren't twins by any manner of means. I suppose if you stuck us by the side of each other, you might have said, well, they could be brothers. But the mistaken identity, well, anything could happen, couldn't it? Could have been somebody after him. I could have got beaten up because of Jeff doing something wrong. I didn't, fortunately. I've got a little quiz for you. I know you like my quizzes. It's about mistaken identity. See, these two blokes were walking along, and from what we know, they had known Jesus for a time. A year, maybe 2 years. And here he arrives, and they don't recognize him. Mary at the tomb, she thought he was a gardener. But as soon as she heard his voice, she knew. What was different about these two guys? Come to that in a sec. Mistaken identities. Can anybody tell me what that might be? Again? A pencil. We don't normally see it from that angle, though, do we? See, there's the pencil. But all the angle that we see in there is just that tiny little bit between the lead and the colouring. What about this one? Got to work out what it is first. It took me a minute or two. It's a stalk. Good. From? An apple. Well done. Yeah, it's a stalk from an apple. Again, we don't really take that much notice of it, do we? You know, we grab an apple, we twist the stalk out, drop it in the bin, and that's it. But we never really look at that little bit of stalk. So we never see it from that kind of angle. Finally, somebody said a safety pin? Paperclip, that's right. It's a paperclip. Sometimes we get a little bit distracted and we don't always see the big picture. We don't always see the intricate pictures, do we? You know, I mean, how often would you have actually looked at a paperclip like that? But these two men were wandering along, and we're told that they were going to a place called Emmaus. Who were they? Well, actually, we don't really know. We know one was called Cleopas. He's the only one that's mentioned. And who was Cleopas? Hardly mentioned in much of Scripture. Well, actually, Cleopas was the husband of one of the three Marys who went to the tomb. You remember that they talk about how the women went to the tomb. There were three Marys: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Mary the wife of Cleopas. And this was Cleopas. Now, while he was walking home 7 miles to Emmaus without his wife, I'm not sure. Perhaps they'd had an argument. You never know. But the previous verse in the chapter suggests that they were with the group of followers of Jesus in the upper room on Easter Sunday. And then, for some reason, they decide to leave and go home. Perhaps they got business to do. How would you feel? How do you think they felt? They were very disheartened. They were very downcast. I mean, let's face it, what had just happened on Good Friday had actually whipped the legs right from underneath Jesus' followers. It couldn't have happened, could it? I mean, he's supposed to be the Messiah. He's supposed to be the one who's come to save us. And he's gone. He's dead. And even worse, the women who'd gone down to complete the job of preparation for burial come back and say, he's gone. The body's gone. Somebody's stolen it. Everything had been taken away from them. They were left without hope. They were left with nothing. They were left with despair. Not surprisingly, as they walk along the road together, they're talking about what's happened. Oh, what dreadful on Friday, wasn't it? Did you see that? And oh. And then this morning, now the body's gone. What are we supposed to do now? And Jesus turns up. And they don't recognize him. They were talking about everything that had happened. Why did they not recognize Jesus? They'd been with him. They'd heard his voice. They knew what he looked like. Had he changed so? Or were they so desperate and in such despair that they couldn't get their eyes off the floor to look at him. We could expect any of those, but actually what it says in verse 16, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus didn't want them to recognize him at that point. Well, at least that's what I think. I believe it was a divine intervention. It wasn't just that they'd looking in the wrong direction. And he says to them, "So, guys, what you've been talking about? They said, oh, all the things that have been happening. And Jesus says, what things? What things? Now, you could forgive them, couldn't you, for saying, oi, mate, which planet have you just been on? Have you not noticed what's been going on in Jerusalem over the last 3 days? Where have you been? And so they relate the story to Jesus of what had happened between Good Friday and Easter morning. However, how did they describe Jesus? They said, oh, he was a powerful prophet. Do you notice that? They didn't say he was the Messiah. They didn't say he was the Son of God. But that he was a powerful prophet, powerful in healing, in what he said. And they even tell him that the women who went to the tomb that morning came back and found it empty. Peter had gone as well with John. But all they found were the folded grave clothes. And this was the powerful prophet, the one we believe that God had sent to us to be the Messiah. Do you think they didn't recognize him as the Messiah? Not the Jesus they're talking to, but the Jesus who was crucified. Did they not recognize him as the Messiah? Or were they a bit like Thomas, doubting now? Because if he was, he's got no right to have been killed, crucified, died. And Jesus looks at them and says, you are foolish and you are so slow-witted. Don't you get it yet? Get what? And he goes on to explain to them the significance of all of the Old Testament prophecies about him, about the Messiah, from Moses all the way through. Now, it's only 7 miles, and I think, if I remember rightly, there's something like over 100, nearly 120 prophecies about the Messiah. So we either talk quickly or they walk slowly. He'd got a lot to get through, hadn't he? St. Augustine's credited with this. I love the name, St. Augustine of Hippo. Nothing to do with hippopotami, I have to say. The New Testament is in the old concealed. The Old Testament is in the new revealed. Do you get that? If people had read the prophets and the prophecies correctly, they knew what was going to happen in the New Testament. And when we read the New Testament, it reveals to us all the things that they got right in the Old Testament. That's a good spot, really, isn't it, you know? So when you're reading the Old Testament, an Old Testament passage, don't just dismiss it. What's the significance? We believe that everything in Scripture has a significance. And so when you're reading the Old Testament, what's the significance in the New? I haven't got time to go into it because I need to get to the end of the story. So, as they were walking along on the road to Emmaus, they approach Emmaus. They've walked there 7 miles, and Jesus looks as though he's going to carry on somewhere else. And they say, "No, no, no, stay with us. Please, stay with us." What's important about that? Well, it's an invitation. It's an invitation. If you want Jesus to be with you and to stay with you, it has to begin with an invitation from you. Do you get that? You've got to want him to come into your life. He doesn't gatecrash people's lives. He doesn't muscle his way in. He waits to be invited. Then, in this story, comes the revelation. They sit, we don't even know whether it's a house or an inn, but they sit eating their evening meal, and suddenly, Jesus breaks the bread. You ever wondered why Jesus should break the bread? You see, in Jewish custom, it's the host who breaks the bread for it to be given out. Now, on this occasion, Jesus wasn't the host. He was at the Last Supper. Hence why he broke the bread, he blessed it and gave it to them. But for some reason, for these guys, his true identity is suddenly revealed. Suddenly their eyes are opened. And as that happens, we're told, Jesus disappears. My job is done. That was what he was there for. To do that simple task of bringing them to the realization of who he was, who he is, to recognize him as the Messiah. And I can't understand why the bread bit is important. Because these guys were not at the Last Supper. According to Scripture, it was only the 12. Now, if they'd have been there and they had seen him break that bread and it just sort of clicked in your mind, you know, you've had that, haven't you? You've seen something and you thought, ah, and it reminds you of something that happened years ago. But they weren't there. However, I'm sure there'd been plenty of talk about it over the 3 days from Good Friday through to Easter Sunday. So perhaps they just remembered what the apostles had said. He broke bread and blessed it. It just triggers a remembrance. But he disappears before their eyes. Now, they're different blokes. Now, what do? They get up from the table and they run back to Jerusalem, another 7 miles. And it's dark by this time. Because they're so overjoyed now. They have seen the risen Saviour. They go back to the group who are still assembled and they say, we've seen him as well. Yeah, Simon Peter saw him this morning and Mary saw him. And suddenly we have 4 eyewitnesses of the risen Saviour. Four eyewitnesses. What a starting point. From those 4 eyewitnesses, we get today's church. They confirm what others had seen. So now, Peter and Mary, having said, we've seen him. Now, they come back and confirm it. We've seen him as well. So what's the significance of this meeting? Well, there are 3 things I want you to think about as you go. Firstly, Jesus meets us where we are. Do you get that? Jesus meets us where we are. We don't have to still be with the 11. Do you know we don't even have to be in church? He meets us where we are. These blokes were not in a synagogue. They were not in the temple. They were on a dusty road walking 7 miles to Emmaus. A pretty unknown place. He meets us where we are. The second thing. Jesus enters only by invitation. We have to invite him in. We have to be wanting to have his presence in our lives. I love the painting by Holman Hunt called Light of the World. And Jesus stands outside a door, and in one hand he's got the light of the world, the lantern with the candle. And on his other hand, he's knocking on the door. And you know what I'm going to say, some of you? There's no handle on the outside of the door. So he couldn't get in. Someone has to let him in. We have to open the door for him to enter and invite him. By invitation only. The third thing is this. Do we recognize Jesus in our everyday lives? See, Cleopas and his pal were so grief-stricken, so in despair, that they didn't recognize the man that they'd been following for some time. Is it the same for us as Christians? Do we sometimes miss Jesus in our lives? Where did they recognize him? Where did they find Jesus? Well, you can't have a more commonplace than the dinner table. A dinner table for the Jews was a place not just for eating and refreshment, but for fellowship, friendship, discussion. Four eyewitnesses now of the risen Christ. There is hope. There is hope. You see, our hope is not a crossed fingers hope. Oh, please, 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 let it be me, let it be me. It is completely and really assured. We need to continually open our eyes to the hope we have in Jesus. You see, the two guys walking to Emmaus had settled for an under-realized, an underwhelming hope that Jesus was no more than a powerful prophet. He's more than that. He is Jesus. He is God's Son. He is Messiah. I wish I'd chosen this for the last song, and I didn't, because it only came to me yesterday afternoon when I was finishing off the message. We sing this, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, he is Lord. Lord of all. Amen.